going to transition from Christmas to New Year, since our New Year starts this coming Wednesday. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven." So we spent this month talking about Christmas. We've talked about different aspects of Christmas. We've talked about angels visiting people and bringing messages. We've talked about shepherds were the people who were chosen to go to spread the message of the Savior that was born. We've talked about the salutation given to Mary, or maybe we thought about it throughout the month, about "Blessed are you among women. Behold, favored one," the angel said. And those topics makes me think about a few questions for myself and for you. Am I living a life in a way that God would look down on me as a favored one? Not someone to be to give the virgin birth to, and not that kind of favor, but just a favored one. Would an angel come to me and say, "Do not fear"? And would I be entrusted to leave a message with, an important message with? If indeed God had a message to spread. But the thing is, God still has a message to spread. He's not, that message of Jesus being born has been spread. We're talking about it today. But God still has a message to spread all over the planet, that his son, who was born over 2,000 years ago, will come again. And we've been entrusted with that message. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for Jesus and for this Christmas season, even though, Lord, he was not born in the month of December. We have put it there and remember this during this season, his birth and the salvation that was brought when he was born and the price that was paid later on a cross so that we could have life. And that message continues to go forward, Lord, and you've entrusted us with it, that we would continue to preach that message and teach that message to people that don't know Jesus, and help us, Lord, to do so every day. Be with us in this service. Help us, Lord, to take your word into our hearts and take it into this world. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we talk about the will of God, I want us to ask ourselves a few questions. How can we make ourselves ready to the point that we could know? That we could know that an angel could come to us if God desired. How can we make ourselves ready so that we could be a person God could talk through or to? And it boils down to one thing: the will of God. Now, we know there's much more to this because others have talked about it. But in the Sermon on the Mount, that portion of scripture between Matthew 5 and Matthew chapter 7, maybe even further, Jesus spoke some pretty simple, generic things that should be easy for us to understand. So as we talked about the will of God, I want us to talk about what Jesus said about the will of God first, before we look at what other people have also said. John 6:38, if you're going to follow along, John 6:38, we're going to be skipping all over the place, says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus also said in John 5:30, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus speaks many times about this will of him who sent me. And John 4:34, we're kind of going backwards. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That was, I believe, during the time of with the woman at the well, when he asked his disciples, "Do you have any food?" Or they brought him food and said, "Master, eat." And he said, "I have a food you do not know of." My food is to do the will of him who sent me. He speaks about the will of him who sent me. And of course, he also said to us in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. Even prophetically, in Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 and 8, God speaks through David. Then I said, this is a messianic psalm depicting the Messiah. Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So not only does Jesus himself talk about that will, but prophecy talks about how that will of God would be in his heart. And the verse that I really love to look at this morning that I think is important for our mindset is found in John chapter 6, verse 39, the very verse after the first one we read. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose any of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them all to life on the last day. I think he's not only talking about his disciples, but he's talking about those who would come to know him later because of his disciples, and those that come to know Jesus because of those disciples. And those people continue to spread the message even to us today. God is not willing for Jesus to lose any of those given to him. We do know that Judas was lost, that Judas betrayed him. Not of any fault of Jesus, but of fault of Judas himself. But if that was God's will for Jesus not to lose any of those that were given to him, does God have that same standard for us? Does he want us to be influential in the lives of people around us? Does he not want us to lose any of those that he has given us influence over? Now that's the thing that we need to be careful of. When we feel like God has given us influence over somebody, or to help somebody come along to Jesus, because we don't bring people to Jesus. God brings people to Jesus, but he uses us at times. We can never let that influence be used in a wrong manner. If we feel like somebody is listening to us because God has given us influence in their lives, we should never take advantage of that influence. So today I want us to be talking about God's will, and I want us to believe that we need to live our life exactly like that. That God has given us influence in some people's lives, and we should be living our lives in a way that we do not lose people God has given to us, especially when they come to know Jesus. They may move across the country. They may move out of our lives. They may still communicate with us on Facebook, message, write a letter. Nobody does that anymore. But we need to always have that influence. I just thought, just come to my head, it's not in my notes, but I remember years ago I baptized a friend. He was baptized out at the Flakes Center Church out there a couple miles away. His name was Dan Ponce. I'm still good friends with him today. We still talk today about the Lord. I don't have as much of an influence in his life, but I haven't stopped talking to him. He lives in Rockford. We don't work together anymore. The place I used to work is now closed right up. But we still have our conversations about the Lord and about the importance of living for Jesus. And I hope and pray that I never do anything that would cause him to go, oh man, Rick sure made me stumble. Rick, what happened to Rick? So today I want us to look a little more, into the Sermon on the Mount. I'm kind of bypassing all the blessed statements. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Skipping down a little bit. We all like to read Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But there's so much more that was said around that. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? We all know these verses. They're spectacular verses if we really think about them. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I still remember the picture from 1978. My mom and my dad went to Israel. And they met Alva Huffer and a few others over there. And as they were touring around Israel, my dad has a picture, a very close-up picture, of a lily of the field. And I took the similar picture when I was over there, and I don't have it with me today, but I still have that picture. Dad took a picture of a lily of the field for this verse. He also had a picture of Larry Mayberry. I don't know, some of you probably know Larry Mayberry. Of Larry Mayberry standing, sitting, laying on the in the grass, taking a close-up of a lily of the field, which I think my dad had just done, and now Larry was doing it. My dad was taking a picture of Larry doing it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, to which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking to his Jewish followers, and he mentions us, Gentiles. That's what we are. We're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. And the infamous verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God first. Seek his kingdom first. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of your needs if you do his will. Seek him first. Do what he asks. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So as we stand in the threshold of a new year, it's natural to reflect on the past and consider the future. Many of us make resolutions, setting goals and dreams for the years ahead, but as followers of Christ, our primary focus should not be on our own plans, but on aligning ourselves with God's will. Today we'll consider the powerful words of Jesus in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I didn't read that whole scripture earlier, but here's I'm going to reiterate the verse we did read and those following. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I want to go over a few scriptures that indicate the importance of doing God's will. In these sobering verses, Jesus makes it clear that simply acknowledging him or doing religious acts isn't enough. I love to come here with you. I love it when we get together and we study the Word on Wednesday nights. We see what each other is thinking. We might not necessarily agree 100%, but we don't have to always agree. I love coming here. Last week especially, I think our youth did a great job up on this stage. And there was those times when the music cut out a little bit, you could hear the kids singing, even though most of it was being lip sung. They were still knew the words. They were still singing. It was a very enjoyable program, and I love coming here and sharing with you in that. But we can get stuck in a rut where coming here is the only thing we're doing. And what are we doing outside of this place? Are we doing God's will between Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday night? Or are we just going through the motions of going to church? That's what I did for years. Matthew 12:50 says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother." We cannot be a brother of Christ without doing his will. It's really simple. His words are cut to the quick. In John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We don't keep God's commandments because they save us, because keeping the law saves us. We keep God's commandments because we love him. We love him, and because we know what his commandments are and the things that he would have for our lives that are good and some are evil. There's evil things in the world and good things in the world. We keep those commandments because we love God, not because our obedience saves us. Our love for God saves us. Jesus also said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" This verse, Matthew 7:21, has been on my mind a lot lately. It really cuts deep. It's really a verse where you have to look at it and go, wow, that is so scary. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." And then those verses following, "Didn't we do this, Lord? Didn't we do that? Didn't we prophesy in your name?" Those are people that were calling on the name of the Lord, but somehow or another, I don't know if they got caught up in the will, into the worldly ways, and you're doing one thing on Sunday and another thing for the next 6 days. Don't know what's all going on there, but it makes you ponder, and it should make you ponder, am I living in God's will? Am I doing what he would have me say? Jesus didn't just speak about God's will. Others also. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "But understand this." Simple verse we've all heard. "In the last days, terrible times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, without love of good, traitorous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Turn away from such as these." I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that just shows up and sings a few songs with you and goes home and lives in a very different life. And I don't think that God, you want that either. We need to be looking at our life as we enter this new year saying, what will God's will be for my life? What else can I do to serve him? We often confuse God's will with our own desires, but true alignment comes from a heart of humility, surrender, and obedience. In 2025, let us commit to a deeper understanding of God's will, moving beyond a shallow religious act to a genuine heart-led pursuit of him. These are all verses we've all used, but this is the Apostle Paul now speaking. He's taken everything he's heard from disciples and Jesus himself, because he was taught in the deserts of Arabia, the Bible tells us. He's taking those things that he's heard from others and Jesus, and he's saying in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I don't hardly get through a sermon without saying, young people, I feel for you, young people. I I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think that we had a rough time at times and as a kid. But I think that in a way you have it so much rougher. And I don't envy you. I don't envy how much is thrown at you so easily, and you don't have to even go further than this phone to find some crazy things that we shouldn't be doing. When I was younger, I remember one of my brothers kept a girly magazine under his mattress. You couldn't just walk into a store without buying one of those, because I don't even think it was that easy. A buddy or somebody else that was older had to get that for you. You don't have to go to a store anymore for that. That rubbish is all over the internet. And I feel for you for that reason. I'm speaking to all of you, but I'm talking to your young people. Put God's will first. If you have to, put a device on your phone. Put something on your phone that blocks you from accessing some of that, because it's too easy. Understanding God's will. To know God's will is to know Him intimately through His Word, by His guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible provides us with clear directions to how to live in alignment with His will, but we must intentionally seek God's guidance, not relying on our own understanding. We often confuse God's will with our own desires, but true alignment comes from a heart, humility, surrender, and obedience. Paul continues on in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. See, these are things that keep you closer to God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know that Hannah is struggling right now. She's not a policeman anymore. She's looking for what God would have her to do, and I think some of her identity was in all that work she did to become a policeman. And now she's trying to figure out, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And I think she's struggling. I continue to ask for her prayers for her. But one thing I do know she's doing still is she's still praying. She's still giving thanks for the circumstance she's in. She knows that God will get her into something that is in His will down the road. But it's hard for me as a dad to see her struggling, to see her feel like she's lost her identity and purpose. Paul continues on in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Over and over again, Jesus talked about God's will. Paul talked about God's will. Peter talked about God's will. James talked about God's will. If he wasn't saying using the words God's will, he was saying things like James chapter 4, verse 4 says that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. It's not the will of God for you to be friends with the world. And the will of God is often counter what the world says. The way the world is and the way God's will is, they don't go hand in hand. The world says, stay out of people's business. Well, that's probably a good thing in a way, to stay out of. You shouldn't make everybody's business your business. But when you're friends with somebody and you love the Lord and they're struggling with their relationship with the Lord, there's a time where you don't stay out of their business. There's a time where you go to your friends in love and say, hey, I notice you're struggling. And hey, by the way, I went through the same thing. I don't want you to think I'm being condescending. I don't want you to think I'm being judgmental. I went through what you're going through right now. And I'm telling you what, God could get you through this. Sometimes you just don't stay out of people's business because you love them as a brother or a sister in Christ. I mean, God has talked to them, but without being condescending and judgmental. The world says if it feels good, do it. And there's so much out there for us that we could do, we can get wrapped up in. But God says put Him first. Be reliant upon Him. Do what He would have you to do. Don't be friends with the world. Or simply, and I've heard lots of Christians say it, probably even myself at times. Oh man, I hate so-and-so. It's not okay to despise or hate anybody. The world might say it is. And I definitely see a situation on the news or somebody, just a man not too long ago, lit a woman on fire on the subway and killed her. Yeah, I think that was horrid. And that person needs to stand before God someday for that kind of hate that they practice. We as Christians need to stay away from stuff like that. Make sure we're not practicing those kind of attitudes and having that kind of hate or despise for anybody. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's easy to have a strong dislike for somebody, but hating our enemy is not an option. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still misusing Jesus, before we come to know him in the waters of baptism, he died for us. That person that's bad and evil, that might do things that are bad to us or steal from us or say bad things about us, we need to have the same attitude toward them that Jesus had toward us. He died for us before, when we were still sinners. We need to love the guy, the person that may abuse us or do harm to us. Even before they do, we need to love the people around us. Philippians 2:3-4, Paul continues on and says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." And I already quoted it, James 4:4, "Friendship with the world is hostility toward God." When we align ourselves with God's will, the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow in us. We went past those verses. We didn't read Matthew chapter 5. But we're going to let Paul do it for us, because Paul did say in Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." He also said in Colossians 1:10, "So that you may live a life worthy of God and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." We know that Jesus grew in the knowledge of God. We know that he was found in the temple teaching at the age of 8. He said, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" And after that, Scripture says he grew in wisdom and stature daily with men and with God. He grew in wisdom and stature. He had to learn as he grew. But yet he was God's son and knew full well who he was and what he was sent to do. You and I have to have, we may not be Jesus, but we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to grow in wisdom and stature with God, growing in the knowledge of God, Paul says in Colossians 1:10. So as we begin this new year, let us commit to seeking God's will in every area of our life, whether in our families, careers, relationships, or service to others. Our desire should be to bring glory to God and reflect his love in all we do. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know if we seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, he will direct our paths. Before Jesus came, before the New Testament was written, there's all this stuff was still in there. Yes, there were some things in the Bible that Jesus would say, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye." But Jesus said, "I'm telling you, love your enemies." Yes, there were some things that Jesus told us to do differently. But one thing that the book of Micah, if we didn't have the New Testament, the Old Testament still has a lot in there that tells us some things that were changing as time went on. Micah 6:8 is a verse that I love. I think if we didn't have the New Testament that tells us about the life of Jesus, that this is a verse that we could look at and go, wow, that does say a lot. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, write that verse down, Micah 6:8. Read it and look at it in the light of the New Testament and say, wow, Jesus told us in all the different things. Paul told us in all the things he wrote. Peter, James, John all told us some of the same things that Micah 6:8 says. To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. After Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount, and he did that verse out of Matthew 7:21, that's why we sang the wise man and the foolish man earlier. He then talks about the wise man and the foolish man who one built their house on a rock, another built their house on sand, and how that correlates to us. If we hear the word of God and do not do it, we are like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rains came and it fell down. We're going to close this morning.